Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right. Good morning and welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March the 20th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Today we got Scott Kraler in the studio today. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. Thank you.
We had to start over because I screwed up your name. Sorry.
Yeah, everybody does.
Well, I didn't want to, man. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be the guy that can nail. I have one hard thing to do today, and that's say your name, and I screwed it up.
I was rooting for you.
Well, good morning. I don't know how we got introduced. Was it Rob West? I don't know who put us in touch, but
I think I just had added you on Facebook and saw what you do.
Yeah, and listen, anytime I see a photographer, I call them the hustlers because it is a hustle, and I think I must have reached out. We've been going back a little bit, finally got to have this happen, so I appreciate it. How are you?
Yeah, I've been busy, so you know, I'm glad to finally be able to come in.
Well, listen, I always say business first, right? Take care of business. When you got a little moment, let's do a podcast. But I appreciate that. I'm glad you've been busy.
Yeah, me too.
A friend of mine, Tiff, she's like, this is the worst month, right? This is the worst month. Do you feel that? Is it...
For real estate photography?
For any. I would say...
Around here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this place is so seasonal that... Yeah, towards February, March, I mean, it's January, February, March is pretty bad.
Well, I've had a business for 12 years, and every time around this time of year, I freak out. Like, I forget that I've had it 12 years. I'm like, this happens every year. You should just remember. You know, it all works out. In a couple months, you'll be crying that you're too busy. So,
yeah.
So what is it? I know you're a photographer, real estate photographer. I guess you do some drone stuff. What is it? Let's just hear about your story and how you got into photography and what do you love about it and what's kind of going on this time of year in photography.
I've always enjoyed photography, looking at it, you know, prior to taking any pictures. Black and whites I really liked. And so I finally decided to get a camera, DSLR, full-size camera. And
the one that you have to be educated to use?
Yeah, the ones with all the buttons and knobs and switches. Which,
stuff.
Yeah. So I never really took many pictures, you know. I didn't know the camera well.
Right.
Just didn't put much time into it. And then we were out one night, and we met this woman who was a sales rep for a real estate company out of Utah.
Okay.
And she said, you know, do you want to be a real estate photographer? And I was looking for part-time work at the time because I was going to Warwick to be a radiology tech.
Okay.
So I needed a part-time job while that position, you know, waiting for my seat to open up. So I started doing it. All I had to do was show up. They got the work. They did the editing. I just took the pictures and sent them to them. And did that through the summer. And the seat was coming to open up. And I enjoyed this so much and gotten better at it over the summer. And an opportunity opened up where if I had started a business at that time, I'd be guaranteed a couple of customers because there was a real estate photographer that had just recently left.
Okay.
Left the area. So I ditched school, which I'd done before, and opened up the business. And it's I'd do it again. It's
nice.
Great. So then, yeah, I started getting better with the camera because I had to get better with it because of work, you know, and YouTube, you know, groups. That's how I taught myself real estate photography and, of course, practice, you know, get out there and shoot.
Isn't it kind of a great time to be alive? I mean, there are so many opportunities. Like, if you want to learn something, I mean, I get made fun of for this, but all I watch on television is YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any interest in really anything else unless
I don't watch anything on TV.
I'm learning something. Yeah. It's teaching me something. I'm just fascinated by all this great stuff out there. And I think, I don't know, how old are you?
48.
Okay, I'm a little older, but I mean, back in our day, it was encyclopedia. That was our wealth of information. There was no internet. So, yeah, it is cool. It's funny. Did you, I mean, when you were a kid, I remember when I, the first camera that I ever got was that little flat one. Remember the, it was black and it was, it looked like a ice cream sandwich sort of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you just kind of flash, you slit, you, I think you slid it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you slid it. And I think it had the little cube flash on it that sort of spun.
Yep.
And I remember, this must have been like 1978, getting one of these cameras and just taking all these great pictures. And it was all black and white. There was no, they might have had color film. I'm sure they did. I just probably couldn't afford it, or my mom wouldn't buy me color film. But just so fascinated by how the whole camera worked, and you can capture stuff. And
wonder where those pictures are.
You know, it,
that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because there's no mystique anymore, right? I was watching something about, I was watching Leonardo da Vinci, a thing, trying to figure out the Mona Lisa, this whole, I don't know, from 11 to midnight last night, this is what I did, watch this. And, but there was no, you know, we, people wrote about him, right? It was in books, but it was pretty vague, sort of. But, you know, today we have so much documentation of ourselves. I mean, everything my kids have done is probably documented, whether it's in their computer or in my Facebook or something, where, yeah, back when I took those pictures, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what happened. I don't have any pictures of growing up.
Yeah, I'm sure I've got a couple around. I haven't seen them in a while, but
my parents didn't take any pictures of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might have. Yeah. They sure weren't fascinated with taking pictures of their kids as I and most adults now are of taking care of, or taking pictures of their own kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I baked some muffins this weekend, and I was like, you know, baking with Teresa, and posted it on my Facebook.
Maybe you were at a wedding or an event with other family members, and they took pictures.
Could have. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't a fun. It wasn't. The ease of taking pictures and developing pictures and immediately sharing pictures just wasn't the thing back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a thing. And it's kind of cool now that we have all these cool opportunities to do that. But, and you know, it's funny. Do you do pictures with your phone at all?
I've taken some, not for work.
Right.
But the camera, the phones on cameras, cameras on phones are great.
They're great. They're
fantastic.
And you can do so much with that picture where it's hard. You know, with like the, and obviously the DSLR. Those cameras are obviously designed for, you know, better work and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I used to have this great Sony, I think it was an A1. I still have it. And it had this cool, it was like a mirrorless, no, it was a mirrored camera, but you could upload it right to your phone.
Yeah.
Like it had this cool
Wi-Fi Sony, or Bluetooth or something.
Yeah, Sony had this great, it was called Memories app that went right on your phone, and you could just transfer the pictures right over, do whatever, you know, share them or whatever. But I love that. I love the ease of that.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Some of these bigger cameras or newer cameras aren't doing that, or maybe they are. I just haven't had the money to buy one.
Yeah, you just got to get the money for it.
Right.
I'm in the Sony A series. I got a Sony A7 III.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's a great camera.
It's mirrorless, yeah, and Sony's great. Yeah.
Well, I used to run. Well, I still run, but I used to run out at Gordon's Pond, and I would take my phone, right, and take pictures of the sunrise. But then I figured out the Sony camera, I could actually put the strap, and it would just sort of fit between my shoulder blades, and I could run with it without this huge lens or something flapping around on my back. It's sort of, and I could take cool pictures with it. So
nice.
So yeah, the real estate game. That's pretty. I mean, and I asked you, do you do drone stuff? And you said, yeah, you got your certification. I remember trying to get mine. I learned one thing, it's not as easy as it sounds. Two, all the stuff that I used to like doing, the course taught me that is illegal anyway. So, and then three, you have to study, because I actually got a 68 out of 70 and did not get the certification. But it wouldn't really benefit me. I'm not a, you know, professional photographer.
Right. It does take a little bit of time, but it's pretty extensive, more thorough than I thought it would be, learning about weather, you know, learning about the weather and airport signals and
airspace.
Yeah, all that stuff, man. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, and then you get recertified every 2 years, so you got to take the, you know, relearn everything and take it online. So it makes it a little bit easier.
It just gave me a little anxiety, and I'm not even taking it. Well, that is. But that's a great point. It brought up a lot of great stuff. You know, I always said it's great if you want to take your drone and fly it from Delaware to Oklahoma City, because it'll teach you exactly how to do that. Different airspaces, how to check in, different things you have to do ahead of time.
We got lucky here. There's like no problems until Biden shows up.
Right.
And then you can't even take off. So.
Right.
But other than that, we're pretty airspace free to kind of do whatever we want around here. Mm. Which is nice. It makes it beneficial for real estate photography.
Yeah, but I don't think. Yeah, well, I don't want. I'm not going to say anything because I want people to have fun. Do whatever you do. All right? I'm not going to. But I did when I first got my first Mavic drone. man, I flew all over the place with that thing.
With the Phantom?
No, I had the Mavic, the DJI Mavic, the very first version of the Mavic.
Yeah, I had that one.
It's a great drone.
I just got the 3.
Oh, is it?
That's the one with the telescope lens. Dude, its pictures are ridiculous.
Well, it's funny because I told you next week Kevin Fleming's coming in.
Yeah.
And I think we all have a lot of respect for him and his photography. And he had that great picture of that yellow spray plane flying over soybeans. I don't know what he's spraying, but the cool spins off the wingtips.
I recognize the picture. I didn't know it was his. Maybe I did, but yeah, I recognize what you're talking about.
We lived over in Breakwater Estates, which is a little development just, I guess, west of the water plant, the water treatment plant, and they were flying. They were spraying these fields. Somebody was over there, and I'm like, I got to get that picture. I'm going to see if I can. Mm-hmm. So I flew my Mavic off into the Wild West there, and I got some pictures. I mean, I didn't want to get, you know, obviously, you know, I kept my distance. I didn't want to have any issues, but I got some pictures, but the battery ran out on the way back and landed on top of this giant elm tree, and I think it's probably still there today.
Oh, boy.
I could never get it.
Yeah.
That's the tough part about those.
It is. I've got a hamper full of broken ones, and I tell you, yeah. Fortunately, I've gotten better at it. And the safety things on it have gotten better as well.
Yeah.
When you have those sensors on, you can't, if you're going full force, full speed into a wall, it'll stop. Mm-hmm. It'll stop itself. So that's nice.
Well, I think the version I had did all that except for when you went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I backed it up into a tree and it fell and I broke it and I had to get it fixed. But so what is your, I mean, what's a real estate photography game like? I mean, we've obviously went through a series, you know, boom in real estate. It looked like at one point you didn't even need a picture. They would have bought the house anyway.
Absolutely, 100%. I know a couple of my agents went to their cell phone pictures, which is fine because they could get the pictures up that same day. They didn't have to schedule with me and then me come in, get the pictures a day later. So they've got the pictures up on Facebook 3 days before I could get it to them, and they have multiple offers. So it's understandable. But but some still have their system that they like to go by, and I was certainly benefiting from the boom as well.
Yeah,
I had all my customers pretty much had their best 2 years, the last couple of years. Me as well. This past September was my best month. So it's 2013 when it opened. Oh, it's my 10-year anniversary too.
Happy anniversary, man!
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
10 years is a big deal.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, like I said, I just did 12, and I'm like, I'm still like, am I going to be able to stay open? Like, I can't seem to remember that I've been doing this for a while, and it usually works out to be just fine. You know, there was a time, and I'm not going to say I'm a photographer, but I take a lot of pictures. You know, isn't it?
Hobby photographer.
That's better. Hobby. Yeah. I'm a running photographer because I go run at 5:30 in the morning with the sunrise.
But you're a photographer nonetheless. If you like taking pictures, you're a photographer.
Well, people say, you are so good. I said, well, if you stand out in the woods at 5:30 in the morning when the sun comes up and take a picture, you would be as good as well. Because
you know, I say the same thing when I go into a beautiful house and it's like the pictures come out really good. Everybody loves them. It's like, well, I mean, the house really looks already beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice.
Not much I'm doing extra to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hard part is making a crap house look good. You know, that's the hard part.
Do you ever so in my photography mind, I was thinking I would love to be like a real estate photographer, and I go I was thinking one day if I was to become a real estate agent. And one of the things that I thought is cool, and I don't know if I don't see anybody pay attention to it, but it's how a sun rises on a house,
the actual light creeping up it and that whole process.
I've never seen, maybe it's too in-depth, maybe it's too much information.
No, I think that would be cool if it was done in like a high speed or something like that. You could,
absolutely. Because I love, like we just moved to a new development and I love, our house faces this direction right here. Yeah. This is the ideal to me, the best. And this would be, I think, a northeast facing direction. So the sun comes up to the right. I love that morning sun. I like that afternoon sun. I worked at another place at one point in my life where the sun, it was a west-facing direction, and that sun would just scorch that. It was a business. So, I mean, they had to get all these blinds and all this stuff to protect from all the sun.
Yeah.
But nobody ever talks about, like, I think it'd be cool to do, like, a cool time lapse of the sunrise in the morning, how it affects the house, what it looks like.
Yeah, have a camera going both ways, one facing the sunrise, one facing the house, and do some kind of thing, interplay there. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think people think about that.
Even at sunset would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I like the sunset idea better.
Well,
that's later in the day.
Hey, you can hire. I'll do your sunrise pictures. Yeah, thank you. I'll be the one for your sunrise, and then you can do the sunset.
You got it.
But I do think it's a thing, you know. And I don't, you know, it's school district, right? You know, what's the local stuff? But where's the sunrise in the morning? And how's the sunset?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a. We should try it.
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. The next opportunity I have, I think I might do something like that.
Maybe with a little GoPro?
A lot of it depends on if the trees are in the way, because if you know you got a lot of wood, well, it depends on a lot of variations, but I like the idea. Probably oceanfront would be best. That way it's got full light, nothing blocking it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of cool different things out there, I think, to do. When we bought this new house, one of the things I did not realize is that how the sun reflects off other houses' windows can actually cast a beam onto our house and melt and distort our siding.
It happened in this big architectural building. I think it was in Chicago. They had to replace every pane of glass or put something on it because it was cooking the neighbors. Yeah,
I did see that.
Yeah.
But I did. I'm like, so this guy's like, yeah, these windows have to have tint because they reflect on the other houses. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, the things we learn when we buy new houses. Things I'd never thought about. So anyway, How do you spend most of the year? I mean, do you spend it all always here? Do you travel? Do you go down to Puerto Rico? How do you feel the winter?
I'm here most of the time working. As you own your own business.
Right.
You know, you're kind of 24/7. This is the slow season, so anytime, you know, you do need to go away or take a vacation, you know, with the agents as well, usually do it, you know, right in January, February.
Right.
Time to do it.
Do you try to take a period of the year and just block it off for not working?
No, because I got to take it as I can get it. You know, when the season comes, it's 8 days a week.
Right.
Realtors work 8 days a week, so I do too.
Well, sometimes I'm just saying, like, in the winter, like, if I don't find some time to take off, like, mark it off. I'm like you. I mean, listen, if someone needs a haircut, that's the cool thing about my job is that, or our jobs, is that we are available whenever someone needs us. But at the same time, I can be tortured a little bit by constantly being available. And so sometimes I have to take a little time off to say, hey, I'm not working these next 4 days or whatever.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. I've just moved back up here recently. I moved down to Myrtle Beach. I tried to bring the business down there, and that was a mistake. So I moved back up here with my tail between my legs and kind of built myself back up because I lost a good bit of my customers.
Mm.
Understandably, they found a replacement, and now I was number two for a lot of those customers. You know, the ones that replaced me, if they left, I get, you know, back my spot back. So a lot of that's been happening, and just putting everything into the business right now, reestablishing myself, and paying up for some credit from down there, moving down to Myrtle Beach, and just getting myself reestablished.
So you thought it was
afterwards? I'll take some time off.
Catch back up. But so what happened to Myrtle? Not what happened in Myrtle Beach. What was that experience like?
Well, I grew up. I graduated high school in North Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
So I had time in the area. I'd lived down there for about 15 years. So I knew the area, but I didn't know the area for real estate photography. Mm. I went down there all, watch this, and it didn't happen.
This.
I ran out of money is what it was. Not just time and money.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, come back up.
A lot of real estate going off down there as well.
Tons. It's just they're not paying the money down there.
Right.
The real estate photography down there, I can charge 40% more than what the real estate photographers down there are charging. So
clearly more people.
The area down there is ridiculous. It's growing probably more than, I haven't been down there in quite a few years, but it's probably growing more than Delaware has in the past couple of years, I'm sure. They have the space to do it.
Dude, I came down 9 this morning. I forgot my phone. Have you ever done that? I hate that. I'm driving here, and then as I'm halfway here, I realize my phone hasn't connected to the car.
And you got to go back.
You got to go back, yeah. Right? Because you can't. It's like, well, I'll just leave it now. Mm-mm. Too much now happens with that phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come down 9, and some people may not know 9, but 9 is a main thoroughfare through this area, and man, what a shit show that was.
24, have you been on that recently?
No.
Oh, dude, come on. We got to go pair. I've been on 9. Come on down 24.
So you're right. Yeah. 24 is worse. Oof. I already know that, so I won't even go down and check it out. I was down off of Robinsonville and 24. Came down 24 because I wanted to see if I could maybe stop at Peddler's Village to maybe fill up my propane tank. I'm like, there's got to be something in there that fills up. It's got to be a rhino somewhere in there, right? First of all, I couldn't figure out how to get in. Couldn't figure out how to get into Peddler's Village anymore. It's just all orange barrels.
Yeah.
And so I just kept going, went down into Rehoboth. But I'm like, God. And then I just read an article in the Cape Gazette about how these businesses are like, people can't get into our business.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was in one the other day. It was just so bad. I just turned around. Yeah. Because they got roads blocked off. They're detouring here. I mean, there's no exaggeration, probably 5 different road projects going on 24.
It is. You know, well, 24 used to be, I'll never forget when, because I don't know how long you've lived here. I've lived here since 94. And I remember when a developer, right, popular developer, started building full force, right? And it was all down 24. It's like minutes from the beach. It was the first, you know, it's like it goes, you know, 24, you know, 9, 16. I mean, it's all these thoroughfares that go out that way. And I remember, and it was probably, back then it was probably minutes to the beach, right? There wasn't that many people living out there.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
I tell you what's needed is a connector from 24 to 9 or something from 24 to 54, something like that.
Except minus a bunch of back roads, like a main road.
Yeah, yeah. I bet they've thought about it.
Well, do you know where Jimtown is?
No.
Jimtown Road?
Hmm.
So, you know, Robinsonville?
Yes.
So if you go up Robinsonville, maybe a mile and a half, you can make a right on Jimtown, which takes you over to Beaver Dam.
Okay.
Which takes you over to, like, Coastal Club. If you take Jimtown, I'm like, well, I don't know why this road just doesn't go straight across this cornfield or whatever the field is, because that would take you right basically to that new light that they put at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they could start working that across.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. They're working, man. I don't know. It's I would not want to live on 24, and I definitely... I'm starting to not want to. You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I live behind the Wawa.
Oh,
I'm right there on top of Long Neck.
Oh, yeah. You're out there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You know what? It's funny. We moved. We've been doing a lot of stuff out in Long Neck. Long Neck's not too bad.
Oh, Long Neck, yeah.
The Giant's great.
Yeah.
Wings goes out there.
That area is great.
And yeah.
It's going to be blowing up. I know that for sure. Surf Bagel just got a spot in there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and that's the little stores all there back there behind Wawa, where yeah. Fins and all that is.
Okay.
Surf Bagel.
Okay. Is it what it, I think there's...
Capachulos is up there, too. Is that the name of it?
Capriati's?
Capriati's, there we go.
Yeah. There's a lot of great stuff out there, but it's getting there, right? Mm-hmm. And you start heading out there, and then there'll be a sign, expect delays, and you see just a mile of brake lights. You're like, I'm going
to
turn around.
Once they're done, I mean, it's going to be great. I'm sure, I think all they're doing is putting in a middle lane so you don't have to risk your life cutting across, you know, all the lanes.
Yeah.
They're going 4 and where they can, I guess, 4 lanes, and looking forward to be over, that's for sure.
What's some of the benefits do you think of, like, using drones in photography, especially for real estate?
Oh, you have to have it, especially here. Everybody wants to know how close you are to the ocean, because we're a beach town. So if you can put that drone up and put that house in the same shot with the ocean, even if it's just a sliver, you know, it looks good. Plus, drones look good, different perspective of the house. You know, yeah. you can definitely, if you're looking at acreage, you can get that drone up and, you know, back enough. You can take the whole view in. You know, drones just, they're great.
Drones are awesome.
It's hard to believe I get paid to fly those things. I mean, it's
well, as a photographer and as a drone photographer, you know, one of the things that I used to do is I used to think it would be cool to just have this long extended flight, right? 8-minute, 10-minute long flight over different things. And and one of the things I realized is that, and I see this like my buddy Rob Waters and probably you, they do a lot more of these short pictures, short captures, and then edit them all together, because one of the things about a drone, though, it is a little difficult to like steer and turn without it appearing that you're a drone. You know what I mean?
You got to be smooth, cinematic.
You got to be cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, it'll be like, you know, that just.
Yeah.
And so
you get the feel for it, though.
Yeah, you definitely get the feel. But do you like the long shot, or do you like to edit shorter shots together?
Depends on what it is. I mean, right. If you're trying to take in something, you know, and you want your eyes to rest on it as, you know, as long as possible, and take it all in, sunsets or something like that are nice. Or and then if it needs to be cut up, do that. You know, it just depends on really what you're doing.
Yeah.
What you want to show.
Yeah. Well, we definitely live in a great area for photography and capturing stuff. I mean, I can imagine down in Rehoboth, you'd want a drone shot that captured a little bit of the ocean, right? And as you go farther, you're probably trying to capture more, like a little bit of Route 1, you know, because mm-hmm. at some point, you just can't get both the house and the ocean, you know, if you're out in Milton, right?
Some spots in Milton, you can get a sliver.
Can you get a little sliver?
Yeah.
But you can get, like, Route 1, and if people know, oh, well, there's Route 1, that goes to the beach. So it's tying in mm-hmm. other landmarks to help the journey, I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's a good area to do it. Real estate down here, it's just if it switches hands a lot frequently. There's so much money down here. A lot of these homes are second homes. They've put the sellers live somewhere else, you know, and they've come down here. They've visited enough. They've rented it out enough, and they sell it and go buy a big old home somewhere else and use it as a vacation spot and rent it out, you know.
Yeah.
And just more and more houses here and more to sell.
Yeah. The neighborhood we moved in, I would imagine half of them are just summer or seasonal. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, where's everybody?
D.C.
Yeah. Pennsylvania. A lot of mm-hmm. people moved here from Pennsylvania.
Big time.
That's how long have you been in the area? Did you grow up here?
No. I was born.
That's right. You said Myrtle Beach. I
was born in D.C.
Okay.
Lived in Northern Virginia. Springfield, Fairfax, Alexandria was where we're at when we left in the eighth grade and moved to California, Palo Alto.
Nice.
And we could ride our bikes to Stanford University. It was beautiful up there.
That is awesome.
And so I mountain biked up there, tried to surf.
tried to surf.
Yeah.
I lived in San Diego.
Yeah.
Tried to surf.
Yeah. I mean, it's really new. It is beautiful out there. It's really nice. I was in high school when I was there. I'd like to go back there now and revisit. And then we moved. We were there for like 2 years and then moved to Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And was there for about 15 years. And
yeah. So did your parents like the beach?
Apparently the beach and bad drivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm up here now. Too, so. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, California, when I lived out in San Diego, California was the first state I lived in that actually tried to educate people how to drive.
Hmm.
I don't know if you... Were you driving out in California?
No.
Yeah, see, when I was out in San Diego, I had my driver's license, and they tried to educate people in the drive. They're like, listen, keep your distance. Don't hit the brakes. If someone hits the brakes in front of you, don't pump the brakes. Just see if you can coast for a minute before they...
Right.
You know, maybe they'll let up. You know, let's keep it moving. How you doing? And I wish we did that here. Because, you know, when you try to implement that kind of driving here, you know, put some distance between a car.
Yeah.
Don't hit the brakes. Some asshole dives in the spot.
So in other countries, it's much more difficult, much more time you have to put into getting your license.
Yeah.
Big time. Germany and all that, man, they're strict about their driver's license.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they teach. I mean, do they have traffic problems over there? Probably. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. I remember going to Norway, and no, we don't have the kind of... They didn't have the kind of cars that we have. They had cars like you.
Small ones, yeah.
Little car.
Mm-hmm.
If you were young or just getting started with your life and your career, you probably drove a 1.8-liter... I don't know whatever name of the car was.
Because all the roads over there are small and all that as well. You
know? Well, gas was like $3.80 a liter.
Mm.
A liter. That's I think there's like 3 liters in a gallon. So we're looking at almost like $9-$10 a gallon for fuel there.
Yeah.
And they drill it there in Norway. It was pretty. But so everybody had like a 1.8. And if you were, you know, doing better in life, a little farther, you might get a 2.0 liter. And then if you were a little well off, you got a 2.2 liter. But it was all liters.
Mm-hmm.
There was none of these. I never saw an SUV or a pickup.
That baby's got a 1.8 liter in her.
That's a Norway car.
Yeah, V4. Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, they put 5 people in that thing. They didn't care.
Yeah, I could easily put 5 in there. Yeah, 30 miles per gallon. But I'm trading it in spring. I got to get a Prius.
Yeah. Is it calling you?
I wanted to this time, but my car conked out, and I wanted to go ahead and jump into a Prius, but nothing was available.
Yeah.
You know, used cars have taken a turn here lately, too, as well. This was last
quite
year.
Popular.
Yeah. So nothing was available. So I got that. And then somebody hit me. So I got to get that door fixed and then sell it and then get that Prius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do a Prius.
I just at 50 miles per gallon. I mean, all I do is drive around all day. That's why I got that little guy, you know.
What about an electric car?
If I had a place to
plug it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
I sort of wanted an electric car for in the beginning, but I think I'm past it.
I'll do it anytime because, I mean, it's much cheaper. You save money right off the bat.
Right.
So there's that. And then, like I said, I just drive. Just for me, it's beneficial because gas is one of my highest overheads.
Yeah.
So if I can drop one of my lowest overheads down, then it's always beneficial.
I started shopping at Redner's.
Yeah.
Dude, they get a lot of bonuses on fuel. They have the gas station right there.
I've never even been to Redner's.
Oh, it's really. Well, you're up in. You're a little.
But they got the Redner's up there, the new one up there on 9, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah. It's got the gas station.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm saying compared to like Long Neck, that's a little. I mean, but if you're all over the place, check it out because I think the first week I shopped at Redner's, I got $1.10 off a gallon.
Huh.
$1.10.
Just signing up the card.
I guess, or maybe we just spend too much money on damn groceries. But I got the first thing first time I filled up. I think I got $1.10. I just filled up yesterday or Saturday, and I got 50 cents a gallon off. Now we buy a lot of freaking groceries. We have 3 kids, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. But they take care of people over there.
Yeah, I'll pretty check it good. Out. Yeah.
So what is this summer going to look like? So this is your 11th.
Yeah, the 10th.
10th. Starting your 10th year.
It's different now. You know, interest rates have gone up. So, I mean, homes still need to sell. You know, whether or not it's the same volume as the past couple of years, I doubt it. But, you know, it's kind of like wait and see.
I know in my business, I think, you know, people say, oh, you know, obviously hair is what's most important. And hair is what's most important. But schedule, availability, parking, there's a lot of different things that go into a business. What is it? Like for your business, like is something new coming along? Are we taking the drone photography to a new level? Maybe it's a time lapse of the sunrise. Maybe that's going to be your 10th year is promoting sunrise, the time lapses or something. How do you keep it?
Yeah.
You know, because for me, you know, I want to be creative and I want to be artsy, but at the same time, I want to be able to do the same thing over very well.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good question. Yeah. You always try to be creative as much as you can, and what I like about my job, probably one of the main things, is I'm in a different location every day.
Yeah,
you know, I love it. So you try to get creative with what you have in front of you, and if new technology comes out that can enhance that, then yeah, you got to jump all over it. You can't be left behind. Matterport came out, you know, the past few years. That's a whole different thing. That
Matterport?
Never. It's like a 3D scan of the room, and you can like click these circles on the other side of the room, and you jump over there.
It's like Google Room.
And it's it's an effective way. I mean, I like the technology. It's,
yeah.
I think there's a use for it in real estate photography.
It's sort of like a virtual tour.
Yeah, yeah. I think once we get a generation out, I think everybody be more adapt using it, you know, because a lot of the seniors that use it, they're like, forget about it, you know. And they're a big market, not even seniors, but even just, you know, 40, 50 years old, they're like, if they're not good with technology, managing that Matterport buttons and all that stuff is kind of confusing. So I think a few more years, 10 more years, I mean, everybody's going to be, it'll be even bigger, you know.
Well, I don't know if you've checked out any of this AI stuff.
Oh, not as much as I'd like to, yeah.
Well, I told my dad was over last night. I'm like, mark down this date. I don't think it started yesterday, but there has been a huge, like in the last. So as soon as Microsoft released their ChatGTP for Bing, their search engine, then Google went crazy. And they're like, we got one too. We have one too. We got AI too. So now it's on. Oh, and I feel, I have the AI on my phone, this AI app for photography.
What?
Yeah, and
I'm all behind here.
I'll have to show it to you, but you can take. I can take a picture, like, you know, I like running on the Junction Breakwater Trail. I take this typical same ass picture from that little bridge at 1903 or whatever, or 1803. It says on the side, I think. But if I run it through AI now, it changes the picture. It's still the picture, but it adjusts it a little.
Hmm.
You know, it depends. I can determine how much AI. I can say 100% AI based on this picture, or no AI, just, you know, filter it a little bit.
Yeah.
But as soon as this stuff started coming out, I'm like, God, there goes all the photographers, right? There goes all the writers. I mean, this ChatGTP is like, give me 100 words on Martin Luther King, and you and it will produce 100 exact words on the story of Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I saw something about like that on the news, but I don't think it's going to take anything away from my type of photography.
Right.
I don't see how it would affect real estate or, you know, the artsy fartsy stuff. I mean, I like that as well.
Right.
But if you know that AI took it, it's not as special as if you know a human being took it.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no value in that, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with you. The app that I have, it requires a picture. I mean, I guess there are things you can say, hey, I need a picture or I need an image of a house. I don't know, whatever. You can put the description in through words, and then it will create this. But I do think that that's not going to work for, you know, 1902 Blueberry Lane.
Because it has to be precise. It has to be 100% how it is when you walk in. I don't know how else to take a picture other than to take a picture. I don't think you can describe it to AI unless AI can walk in and take its own picture.
Exactly.
Or you know, something, I don't know. Yeah. We'll wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised what's around the corner.
And I also think that especially with something like a car or a house or something, even a person, you're like, this looks affected. Like, this doesn't look completely like, what are they hiding? Yeah. Right? And I think that's one of the great things about a real picture unaffected is the authenticity of it. Like, this is, you know, we're showing you the, you know, everything.
For real, yeah.
And nothing's fit, you know, nothing's been, you know, erased off the picture or edited. It's just, this is it. And I think if you did anything other than that, people would be like, suspect.
That's effective. Yeah. You want to show what it is. That's how I like to do it. Both sides of photography.
Well, and I see a lot, like in Facebook, you'll see, I have a friend of mine that I used to hang out with in San Diego. I remember how much beers we drank and how much fun we had. And now this person posts pictures of themselves. I'm like, you can't look that good anymore. I mean, we've all grown up, right? You look 18.
Yeah.
I would never say anything. I would never call anybody out, but I'm like, I'm wondering how bad, you know, what's the point?
The filters you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, when did your eyes turn into reindeer eyes?
They're amusing, though. They're funny.
Yeah, as soon as I see that something's been affected like that or changed, I start to become...
But there's a whole genre for that as well, you know, whether they let you go off the walls and do whatever you want to it, or, you know, it's whatever you like.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, if I was, and I'm not, but if I was single and I was on like a dating app and I saw a person, then I'd be like, okay, that looks like AI.
Oh.
I'm not buying it.
No, I wouldn't. I as long as there's some other pictures, some real ones as well, I guess.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, my dad was over and we were watching YouTube, of course, and all of a sudden now they have these generated video people that talk. Hello, my name is so-and-so and I am an AI. But you can tell they're not real, but they're very close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then, you know, people say, well, people are going to really find this fascinating, start having conversations with their AI friend and their buddy. And
it's going to be curious, you know, 10 years down the road, how this is going to change things.
Are we going to fly off the rails pretty soon here?
I don't know. Probably it sounds pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I'm glad that, you know, I think we both agree that we will always need a good photographer. You know, we don't want it to be AI generated.
No, there's nothing special about that.
There's nothing special about that.
No.
So how many cameras do you have? Like you get your DSLR, you said you got a Sony. Do you do, I mean, what's your range of things you'll do?
Videography as well. My camera that I take the pictures with is also doubles as a video camera.
Nice.
So I can slap that onto what's called a gimbal, and it keeps the camera steady. So then I can turn the video on and walk through the property with and take video. That'll be cut down as well. Some of those long shots we talked about are nice when you're in a big room. You can take a big, long, wide shot.
Yeah.
But then when you're skipping through the house, you know, all the little rooms, you know, you can break apart, you know, cut it and edit all that stuff down into smaller pieces. Twilight shots, that's when you come in sunset or sunrise and take the pictures with the sunrise and the glow. I've never done anything with video at sunrise and sunset, but I think that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, but I think I'm going to suggest it next time somebody wants a
just a
photo of the sunset or sunrise. I'm going to suggest that video part and see if it works out at that house. Well, I'll show it to you.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if I was looking at a house and I'm like, oh, sunrise path or sunset path. You know, how does this fit? You know, even a different how that, you know, a time lapse pointed at the house, just how that sun mm-hmm. crosses it in the mornings.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty. So we do the dusk and sunrise shots. I do floor plans, which is not the typical to roll the tape out across the floor or hit the laser on the wall. This is done by pointing your camera at the floorboard and walking around the entire house.
Mm.
And that's it. That's all you do. It takes in a 2,500 square foot house maybe 7 minutes to do.
Okay.
And it gets sent out, and I'm sure it has a lot of algorithms that put it all together. And it's not 100% precise, but, I mean, it only takes a few minutes. You know?
Yeah.
So it's great to have that. Virtual staging, if the house is empty, it always looks better. Furniture's in the house, you know, instead of just blah. So the virtual staging now looks really great. You can't tell almost that it's
fake there's
furniture.
No, it's all fake.
Fake furniture.
It's AI.
Almost.
Son of a gun. It's artificial furniture.
They're coming.
It's AF. Well, that's a good, I thought there was a time in my life I thought it'd be cool to own a company that staged houses.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be really cool, but then I realized I'd have to place all the staging material somewhere.
That is a deal. Yeah. Hopefully you're busy enough where you don't need to do that. Yeah.
Well, I was there at Christmas, you know, like I said, we got this new house. I'm like, you know what, this year I'm going to have somebody come in and deck our house out for Christmas, right? I'm just come in, you know, I used to work at Bad Hair Day. Drexel used to have all these great people come in, really. Drexel probably did it all. Drexel did do it all, but he had he had storage units, right, all around, and he would bring this stuff in, and I'm like, I want to get someone to come and do this, and I reached out to a person, and they're like, I'd love to do it. Sign me up. We're going to do it. But you need to buy everything. And I'm like, well, I don't want to buy everything. I want you to come and bring it all here, stage my house for Christmas, and then come and take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Wasn't available.
Yeah. So you decided to cut hair.
No, this was last year. I was cutting hair. I'm just saying. But it would be kind of cool if you could do that to kind of go into the seasonal staging business, right? You just come in with a bunch of cool seasonal stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Deck their house out for Christmas. One day they come home, their house is, you know.
That's a great idea.
I love Christmas, but I hate decorating for it, right? And then the worst part is I hate undecorating for it. It's like I'm dragging Christmas into, you know, January, February, March.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of the family traditions is putting that stuff up. So I think the taken down part is like nobody wants, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you still better be careful with those, the family.
Jewels.
Take that out.
The family ornaments.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point. Every year we go down to Hallmark and get that yearly ornament, and you know, we save them, and but
they're a big deal.
It would be cool, but the big problem is storing all the stuff. You know, I mean, maybe I could do a house or two, but man, can you imagine if you got busy and you needed to stage 10 to 12 to 15 houses in a season?
I wouldn't be talking about this on the air. That's a great idea. I mean,
listen, somebody wants to do it, go for it. I'm out of the starting a new business game.
Right.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm running my time. I don't want to. Well, the problem is still storing the stuff, because now that we talked about it, I would still like to do it, but I need a warehouse, right? Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah.
Have it.
Make sure it's packed up really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, when does your season start? You think probably March? Get going
when it starts warming up.
Yeah.
You know, people want to take tours of homes when it's warmer out. You know, they'll have to be bundled up. So when it starts warming up, that's when the season starts. And then goes through strong until September. October, November, it starts dying off. After Thanksgiving, it's pretty much over until spring again.
Do you do weddings?
No, I don't. Dealing with a bridezilla is not my wheelhouse. I can't do that. So I like to shoot things that don't move. That's preferable.
And don't yell at you.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Well, a friend of mine, she's doing a lot of sunrise shots in the summer. I mean, she's like booked up all summer with just sunrise shots.
Yeah, yeah, man. The portrait work around here is incredible. Yeah.
Problem is, you have to get up early.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
That's not always fun.
You got to, yeah, because the beach is that way. Shoot. I'm talking to a nice sunset on the bay.
Well, listen, you Do you? So you're on Facebook. It's Scott Failer on Facebook. If people want to learn about you,
Failer.
God damn it! Well, that doesn't even look like a K.
I wrote small.
Yeah, I think you tried to spell it out so I would pronounce it better. Anyway, you're on Facebook. If someone wants to come find you, come check you out. If you want to, someone wants to hire you through Facebook, or what's the best way to find you?
Facebook. That's got everything there. My website, wingsimaging.com. And I have pictures there on my Facebook site as well, all of my real estate stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
I appreciate it having me.
Yeah. Did we miss anything? Is there anything we need to talk about?
I think we're good.
So, real estate photography is your main game.
That's it. 90% of my work, yeah. I do some builders, and I've got my first interior decorator customer. So nice. Just trying to branch out and not have so much real estate in my basket.
Well, I have talked to a lot of people, and they've said that people are still buying a lot of houses. I mean, I know the interest rate went up, but we still seem to be very popular here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm sure you're going to be quite busy.
I'm hoping so, yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for bringing your dog. What's the dog's name?
Marty.
Marty. That's all right, boy.
Yeah.
He was scared to come in. There's this little string that flew by, and he was like, and he's a rescue, so that's.
Yeah, yeah. The string scared him, but he's good now. Yeah.
Where'd you get him from? Where'd you rescue him from?
Grassroots up in Milton.
Okay.
And they got him from South Carolina.
Oh.
And he was down there for a while. Nobody was, because he was very timid and scared and shy when you first meet him. So nobody was wanting to adopt him, and then Grassroots got a hold of him and brought him up here, and he just needed some time. He's a good dog. He's great
beautiful.
Dog.
He's got beautiful markings.
Oh,
don't
he
you?
Does.
Yeah. Don't you, buddy?
Looks like a cow.
He looks like a cow. All right, man. Well, listen, thank you so much, and I'll have you back sometime.
Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy.
Bye.